Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, third hour, coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Thursday. A lot of stuff to unpack. The Durant stuff. I just read something on Kevin Durant I want to read to you. Tiki hasn't seen this yet. The audience, you're going to want to check this out. Also, the Kyrie Irving and the Celtics aftermath. Where do they go?
Yeah.
The Lakers circus. It's NBA's flowing. NBA's doing pretty well. Okay, whenever there's an injury, and we've seen this more and more in recent years, when you have websites and you've got to put out content, and invariably somebody will grab a physician and get them to weigh in on a player that they have not looked at.
Yeah. What did you think?
Exactly.
I know you saw it on television like all the rest of us.
Correct. But I have that for you. All right. So Dr. Alan Bayer is an orthopedic surgeon and the executive medical director at the renowned Hogg Orthopedic Institute. This is in Newport Beach, California, told CBS Sports on Thursday that a mild strain means, quote, somewhere between a grade one and a grade two, which is going to likely keep him out 2 weeks in a best-case scenario. Yeah. Best case. And he says, let's see, now that we do the math here in the article, somewhere between game 5 and 6 of the conference finals should the Warriors get past Houston.
Wow.
The conference finals are set to begin May 14th. Game 5 is May 22nd, almost 2 weeks exactly from Thursday. Went on to tell us here he'll be getting daily physical therapy starting immediately, anti-inflammatories, ice, and then it's just a matter of how it responds. His playing status will be all about how much the swelling reduces and how well he's able to forcibly contract the muscle, which is necessary to jump. Now, he could feasibly get back by game 4 against Portland or Denver if he pushes it, assuming they win, obviously. Mm-hmm. But now you're risking making the injury a whole lot worse. So let's talk about that aspect of it. Understand, a strain and a tear are the same thing. So Durant has a tear in the calf. I'm still reading his quotes. The grading just indicates how many fibers have been affected. So a mild strain or a grade 1 or a 2 tear, whatever you want to call it, that is one thing. But if we were to come back on a partially healed calf and then end up tearing it all the way by landing or taking off wrong, now you're talking about potentially never coming back 100% ever. And
exactly.
He would regret that decision the rest of his career,
which is what I kind of ask at the end of the first segment, BT. Is it worth it for Kevin Durant knowing where he is?
Well, you tell me. If you Durant and you read that or you hear that possible
prognosis. Here's the thing. I remember having calf strains, and this doctor is right. When you go lifting weights and say you do squats, I can get up 315, right? You get under the bar, you squat it, and you come back up, you feel strong. Next day, you hurt like hell. Your muscles are sore and aching. It's because you have these little tears in your muscle. They rebuild themselves, and that's where growth comes.
Correct.
Muscle growth comes, and you get stronger. Strains are akin, but not the same, obviously, because it's not intentionally strained that way.
It's like a splinter.
Exactly.
Imagine a piece of wood splintering.
I remember in my playing days, BT, I would have these type of this calf soreness. And it's a strain, right? But it's a mild one, maybe because I landed wrong or twisted my, whatever it is. And I would get by putting a heel lift in my shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And the heel lift just allows the calf to work but not stretch as far. Right, because if you watch this again, if you're watching on television, or if you see it again at some point, It's like he steps back and his foot goes all the way flat. That's why I asked if he had different shoes on, because it looks like there's a hump in the middle of his shoe, and that may just be aesthetics or the visual because of the way that the design is. But it's like his shoe, the back end of his shoe, like he's got this lift. It's called lift in the back of your shoe. I know this because of my running shoes, right? I have no lift in the back of my shoe, so I run on my toes. It looks like that's what those shoes are, and so as a result, you get a lot of stretch in your calf, which is good because you're letting your Achilles work and get major spring, right? If you stop your Achilles from working, you can't jump as high. So if you let your Achilles do all the work, you can really jump. So those shoes look like they're designed to make you more athletic. I'm just visually guessing, right? If he wore flatter shoes and had more of a heel, and then put a heel lift in,
he could actually wear grandma orthotics.
Dude, if you got to play Game 7 because Houston takes you to Game 7 and they beat you at home like they have two times already, and this is with Kevin Durant, if I'm KD, I'm trying every possible way to play Game 7, even if it's detrimental to my long-term health, as his doctor is suggesting. Oof. He's right.
There's no way he's playing Game 7. Game 7, that's not even a discussion. There is zero chance he's playing Game 7.
If KD says, I feel great after 2 days, and I get to the weekend, I've had 15 sessions of acupuncture and massage.
Cryotherapy, everything else. Chamber, he's not playing.
I feel good.
He's not playing.
And we got to win.
He's not playing.
You think he at least dresses out?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, it would be incredibly admirable. He has nothing to prove at this point. I don't see it happening. Let me ask you this, and then I want to get something on the Bucks here, because we have kind of overlooked the Bucks here based on the big picture of the day.
It's really only because we kind of knew it was going to happen, and we disrespected the Celtics. I know the Bucks are going on, but yeah, quite an accomplishment for them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, because maybe going into the season, some people, especially Wisconsinites, I know we're on in Wisconsin, you saw this coming. Most people didn't. They didn't know that they were going to have the best record in the Eastern Conference, that they were going to play this way and have an MVP, because Giannis took major leaps to where he is right from last season to where he is right now as an MVP quality, as we just said. The team gelled perfectly. Bud, who was a new head coach, like, how's that going to work? It worked fantastic. So I don't think coming into the season we thought that the Bucks would be an Eastern Conference final team, but here they are, and they deserve a ton of credit for it.
A new arena, which brings new energy. Bucks are, there's a lot to like about the Bucks right now. Let me throw this at you though here. Like, there's still, I don't think people do this on purpose, but I think it just happens organically as we consume sports. Like, it takes us with certain teams that aren't in the high profile markets. All right. It takes us a little bit to like latch on to them.
Yeah, that's right.
And give them, quite frankly, the love that they deserve. Right. And the respect that
unless
they deserve.
Unless there is a personal connection in some way. Right.
Or there's a transcendent player in a non-marquee market like LeBron in Cleveland. Right. So let's say the Bucks get to the NBA Finals, and let's say they lose in six to the Warriors, or they lose in seven to the Rockets, or, I mean, they certainly could win. But let's just say if they lose the Finals. Do we enter next season? Is there, like, this palpable appreciation, this thirst for Milwaukee Bucks basketball? Or do they still get disrespected entering next season?
No, I think
is this the first phase of their national ascension?
I think it's
what I'm asking.
I'm saying it's the first phase of their national ascension, because Giannis is only going, he's still, so, what is he, 23?
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
He's still young. You know, Malcolm Brogdon, as much as people say, oh, he's not that super, Malcolm Brogdon's a player, dude. And obviously he was a rookie of the year, and people thought that was just a fact of having a weak class. But Malcolm Brogdon was a polished professional when he came in as a rookie, and he's only grown from there. He's become very reliable, averaging 16 or so points a game. Chris Middleton is the superstar that nobody talks about. He's not a superstar, but you know what I mean. He's the star, superstar in Milwaukee that nobody talks about. And so would I be excited if they get to the finals and lose? Absolutely I would be, because you know they're only going to get better. And God forbid they add another piece, you know what I mean, another shooter.
Okay. Now, I agree with you. But now let me throw this at you. Let's say,
also, relative to the rest of the East, the Toronto Raptors may dismantle because Kawhi decides to piece and go someplace else.
Yep.
the 76ers are definitely dismantling. Tobias Harris is not staying there
because
they're not giving him a max.
I agree.
Maybe they rightfully keep Jimmy Butler,
yeah.
But there's a good chance Jimmy Butler's not there. So who knows what's happening with the 76ers. We just finished.
Redick's a free agent as well. Less profile, but part of
the Boston
equation.
Celtics, I mean, geez.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, let me throw this at you.
So who's left standing fully intact? The Bucks.
The Bucks. Let's say the Celtics acquire Anthony Davis. Let's just say Anthony Davis is on Boston opening night, and we know how the NBA season opens. Mm-hmm. They open the little dribbles, like a poor 85-year-old guy going to the bathroom. Uh-huh. You get a little something, then you get a little something. So Tuesday night we'll get doubleheader, the national game on TNT, right?
Yep.
And then Thursday you'll get some more, and then everybody will fill in the rest of the way. Let's say Anthony Davis is on the Celtics. Let's say Durant and Kyrie are on the Knicks. Let's say the Bucks remain intact.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Sixers are largely unchanged. They might lose Redick, but they certainly keep Butler. They've got Embiid and Simmons.
Yep.
LeBron's healthy,
mm-hmm.
but the Lakers don't have serious upgrades. The Clippers add Kawhi.
Two.
All right. Now all this could happen.
Yeah.
What are the two? Who are the four teams playing? I ask you this. Now, there's no way of knowing,
yeah.
but I should ask more directly.
You're talking about in the respective conference finals?
No. Who's playing? Who's opening up the NBA season
next
year?
Oh, I see. I got you.
Would the Bucks get that national love? That's my point. Like, if Durant and Kyrie are on the Knicks,
I see what you're saying.
If the Celtics get Anthony Davis, the Celtics will be prominently featured. The Lakers will be on the back end with LeBron, as will the Warriors with Steph and Clay.
When do we find out about the MVP? That happens...
During the finals.
During the finals, yeah. Right? If Giannis wins the MVP,
yep.
And they are playing in the finals, I'm saying it's got to be the Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't know about that. I don't know that you're wrong. I'm not going to say that, but I don't know that you're right.
I mean, that would be massively...
You don't think that they would play the Knicks with Durant and Kyrie Irving?
Of course, okay. But it would be massively disrespectful. Right?
I'm not going to disagree with that. It would be a little disrespectful, but ratings aren't about respect. Ratings are about eyeballs.
When you watch the Bucks, do you enjoy watching them play?
A little. Not as much as... No, I mean, I don't love watching them. I appreciate the Bucks. Yeah. I do. But I have to be honest with you. As great as Giannis is, and man, he's great. When you're 6'10" and you jump out of the gym,
mm-hmm.
and 70% of your buckets are dunks, the intrigue is not really there.
You're right.
I'm not trying to take a swipe at the Bucks, but I've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
All he does is dunk.
It feels old schoolish in a sense. It's not really because they don't play defense that way, but it does. All the scoring is at the rim. And we know the philosophy in the NBA right now. It's score at the rim or shoot a three-pointer.
I'd rather watch the...
Now, by the way,
yep.
It's a misnomer, or at least it's misunderstood. This team took the second most three-pointers in the NBA last year.
Oh, yeah. Bud brought that from Atlanta.
This past season, yep. I should say. And second only to the Houston Rockets. And it wasn't by a lot, right? So they actually do play exactly like the Houston Rockets. It just, for some reason, doesn't seem as entertaining as watching the Houston Rockets.
Is it because we're still in the relative infancy of their ascension and we need to condition ourselves to appreciate what they offer? Nobody's questioning how good the Bucks are.
Yeah.
We're talking about stylistically.
Yeah, this is all aesthetics. This is all what do we want to look
and
at?
And listen, at the end of the day, aesthetics don't matter. Do you win? Nobody's won more games this year than the Bucks encompassing the playoffs.
That's a great
Nobody.
Point.
So, but I don't know. I mean, Diesel, you heard the scenarios. You're a big NBA guy. All those situations go down. Kyrie and Durant are on the Knicks, and Kawhi goes to from Toronto to the Clippers, and LeBron's on the Lakers, and the Warriors don't have Durant, but they still have Clay and Steph, and the Sixers are largely held intact. You think the Bucks play on TNT on opening night? I don't think they do.
I want to say they would get the respect, but I don't think they would.
Exactly.
I would want to see the Bucks. Yeah. I like watching Giannis. I don't know about the rest of the team. I think Giannis is fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think as a team they're overly interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. As you said, they're fantastic, and they win the most games this season, but I don't think they would.
Yeah, I don't think they would either.
That's
I
a shame. It's a shame. You're probably right, and it's a shame.
Yeah, well. Now, if they win the championship, that's different.
I mean,
then it would just be like, come on, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
if they didn't play open tonight, that would be like, all right, stand right here, and let me just smack you and then bitch slap you.
I mean, that would
smack
be ridiculous. You. Because you have to figure this, too. Look at this guy. You have to also look at it this way. All the different machinations which could occur. you know they're going to exploit that.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Like, if Durant is on the Knicks, would you be stunned if the Knicks open in Golden State as a late game?
No.
I mean, with that, war, you know.
No.
But then again, maybe you want to give Durant a home game at the Garden, and you have the Warriors come in for that. I mean, there's a lot to sort through. But the point is that the Bucks don't
give
the get
the Bucks
respect they deserve.
Give them the respect. They've earned it.
But trust me, Milwaukee, we know you
good. They just kind of gentlemanly swept the Boston Celtics, just saying.
Here,
you guys have
you
this.
Know, I don't even think you that's get, a gentleman's sweep you, when,
it's
when
not,
they win the first
it's
game.
Not, it's
they,
not. You know I'm mean? Just saying. It's But the way they beat them down the last four, it's kind of like, you guys take that one. Feel good about yourself a little bit.
They prop you up a little bit.
Yeah, feel good about yourselves. Yeah, now we're going to beat you by 30 for the next four in a row.
A little false hope. They just smashed them. They smoked them. All right, speaking of smoking, this guy smokes a driver as well as anybody. Jason Day, world-class player. All his boys getting ready to descend upon the great Bethpage, about 40 miles from where Tiki and I are in our studio, Long Island. The PGA Championship is next week, and Jason Day, who won the 2015 PGA Championship, will join us next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And we're joined by the 2015 PGA Champion, one of the good guys and one of the true mashers. I mean, he hits the crap out of it on tour. That is Jason Day, who is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Jason, how are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I got to tell you, man, Teek and I were watching you in studio, and we see a couple of holes into the Masters. You're limping around. Then you're in the bushes like Happy Gilmore, basically doing this stretch. I mean, your back was – I mean, it's one thing to have a little tinge in the back, but it looked like your back was just not going to cooperate. How the heck did you play through that?
Man, I got – you know how you've had back surgery before, so you understand it. But, I mean, I went down – 2 minutes before I had to walk onto the first tee, I went down and kissed my daughter, and my back went out. And I'm like, oh, talk about timing.
Wow.
The funny thing is that usually sometimes it'll, you know, loosen up, and sometimes, you know, it'll tighten back up. So, you know, luckily for me, I had my chiro out there, and I was trying to get as much work as I possibly could. Just get through the first, you know, 9 holes. It was pretty sore. And then as the next couple of days, you know, rolled over, I felt much better.
That was amazing. You know, I mentioned Bethpage before, and obviously the PGA, things are different now. The way the old season used to flow, for those who might not know, this was last. And obviously on a year where there was Ryder Cup or President's Cup, obviously, you flip those back and forth, the FedEx. The PGA Championship had a way for the fringe golf fan, not for the devout golf fan, but for the fringe golf fan, of kind of getting swallowed up a little bit by, you know, a little baseball, the end of the summer, the start of football.
Yeah.
This puts it on a different platform. And that's got to be good for the sport. You think it's a good change, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, and the PGA Tour, they've done a tremendous job getting the schedule back kind of in order where, you know, things flow quite nicely for the next, you know, 4 to 5 months when the, you know, firstly starting with the Players' Championship. But it was getting swallowed up. You know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, we finished our playoff events where there was kind of no competition with regards to any other sports or major sports, and you know, I think they did a good job. Usually, you know, last shot of glory is the PGA Championship from what we've done in the past, and for it to move into the May kind of slot, it definitely opens up, you know, other, you know, varieties of golf courses that we can definitely go to. So that it'll be interesting. I know Bethpage is going to be, you know, long. It's going to play long. It's going to be, you know, wet up there, and you know it's already a beast, as you know, so it'll be fun to play.
I think it's going to have more like a U.S. Open feel. You know, it's not too far from Shinnecock.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different golf course than Shinnecock, but you know, and you know this, the New York crowds, the New Jersey, even Baltimore, the great, you know, Metro New York, Connecticut area, is they love the blue collar player, and that's why. You know, Mickelson, I don't know if you could be blue collar when you have $500 million in the bank, but he plays like a blue collar guy. He takes chances. He takes risks.
Yeah.
And I think that the New York crowd is really going to embrace you because you're a blue collar guy. You weren't born with a silver spoon. You worked for it all. I mean, you have really grinded out a great golf career, and nothing was handed to you. And I really respect that. I just wanted to say that to you.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's been kind of an amazing journey, and it all started, you know, with my mom, and, you know, she gave me the opportunity to go down to a golf academy and sacrificed a lot. And as you know, she had lung cancer, you know, back 2 years ago, And I really struggled with that a lot. And I felt like, you know what, I needed to be by her side. So, you know, we've been working very, very hard to try and, you know, keep her as comfortable as possible. And fortunately, we've made some great progress with her. And, you know, it was difficult, you know, for me to play golf. But now, you know, things are looking up for her. And, you know, lung cancer is a scary thing. I'm able to, you know, be with her. And, you know, it is Mother's Day coming up, you know, this Sunday. And heading into the PGA Championship. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, lung cancer and being able to, you know, her to overcome that. And now I felt like, you know, I didn't come from a lot. And I felt like I owed a lot to her to, you know, be with her. But also now I got to start to, you know, focus on, you know, golf again.
For sure. But one of the things that you do off the course, and I want to certainly get into this a little bit, the Tested Back campaign, which is obviously in out of respect for your mom, and it's an initiative that you take great pride in. What exactly is it all about? What exactly do you do with this, Jason?
Yeah, so we partnered up with AstraZeneca, which is a great company to be partnered with. As I was alluding to earlier, my mom had lung cancer, and what we're trying to do is really just trying to get our story across with regards to what we did, because lung cancer is no joke. Cancer in general is no joke. But you know, we just thought that it'd be great to, you know, for people to hear what we went through, how we went through it. You know, the team of doctors that we were, you know, the support that we had from our team of doctors. You know, it was a very emotional, trying time, especially for her and the family. So being able to, you know, look at different ways of testing, like biomarkers, and finding a different pathway to having a better life and living a normal life again was crucial for her. And, you know, I owe a lot. You know, I'm sure you know people that have had this disease or battled something. I owe my mum a lot to where I am today, how much sacrifice she put in to make sure that I was, you know, able to play golf, and I'm able to, you know, sit here and talk to you about it. And I feel really honored by being able to come on your show today and talk to you about it.
That's good stuff, and it comes out. You come across as an incredibly genuine person. We could all tell, all of us who consume the sport, every interview you do. So listen, I'm sure you have bad days. You're a human being, but you are, and I'm not just saying this, we have a lot of your peers on the show, and a lot of PGA golfers treat us well, and they're good guys, but there's something special about our guest, Jason Day, and I think the entire golf community feels that, and we're talking to Jason right now. So where's the game at, buddy? I mean, in terms of, you know, from tee to green, is there an area right now as you dial up for Bethpage, is there one area that you say, all right, I'm not quite where I need to be, I've got to get back in the lab and fix this? Where are you at right now, Jason?
Yeah, 100%. You're spot on. I think my driving has been really, really good this year. And my short game's been pretty good. Putting's been solid. The only thing that's kind of really holding me back is my iron play. If I can just kind of, I've been hitting a lot of greens, but I just haven't been hitting them close enough. So I would like to be able to give myself more opportunities. So I'm averaging just under 70% of greens, which is on the higher side on the PGA Tour stats, but you know, I'm 143rd in strokes gained approach, which means that I just don't hit it close enough. I'm not able to capitalize on the greens hit because I'm not hitting it close enough. But when I still average 4.85 or 4.9, nearly 5 birdies around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's only a positive thing. If I can, you know, just tighten that up a little bit, I think that'll help a long way.
Well, it's a big difference. And just to put this in terms so everybody can understand, I mean, Jason is a masher. I mean, along with, you know, Dustin and Rory and Tiger's not quite where he is distance-wise, but he can still get it off the tee when he has to. You're one of the longer hitters out there. John Rahm can zing it a little bit. And when you bang it out there as far as somebody like Jason does, you get an 8 or a 9 iron in your hand. It's, you know, for the average hack golfer to put it on the green and 2-putt, we're pumped up to walk off with a par. But when you're 135 yards out, you expect to stick that thing within 7-8 feet and give yourself a real birdie look. So that's basically what you're saying. You need to give yourself a chance to have more 1-putts and really capitalize on the long drives, right?
Yes, you're 100% spot on. That's the thing, is that you want to give yourself the opportunity. We do hit it long enough. And, you know, I've been driving. I'm fifth on strokes gained driving, so I'm actually, you know, I'm hitting it long. I'm hitting it very straight. Unfortunately, I'm just not giving myself the looks that I need to. I think if I can give myself one to two more looks per round, that'll really, really change, you know, a lot of the outcomes that I have in tournaments.
Well, Jay, final thing, and it's Jason Day, 2015 PGA Championship, world-class player, played very well at the Masters, tied for fifth, shot minus 11. It's a little different, you know, whether Tiger's in front of you, whether Tiger's behind you, when Tiger's on the course, those groans, those roars, those reactions, they are different. It's got to be fun having Tiger back on, and Tiger's showing that he might not be Tiger from 2000, but Tiger Woods is back. I mean, it's got to be a lot of fun for you guys to see him doing his thing, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I've always said, look, hey, and I've been friends with him for a while now. I said, look, I want you at your best playing against you in a major championship on Sunday. I think that would be the most fun. If I win or lose, it's irrelevant. I just want to be able to compete against him. And that's the whole competition between, you know, us as golfers. But, you know, Tiger, it's funny. Every time if he makes a par putt, it sounds like he just hold a 20-foot birdie putt. You know, there's a different roar when it comes to Tiger and the whole scene that goes around the Tiger Show. It's nuts. But you know, the guy deserves it. I mean, he's 81 times and 15 major championships. It's quite impressive to see the comeback that he's had in his career. And, you know, I think the state of the game right now is a very, very healthy state.
Yeah, and as you said, you guys are boys, so you're obviously very tight. I know you text a lot, you guys communicate a lot. But for the rest of the golf community, like us just watching on the couch, it's really nice to see Tiger Woods with a legitimate, organic smile, like an authentic smile. He's having fun. It's great for golf. And, listen, this is going to be a hell of a field. So bring the big dog. The big dog's going to be eating a lot. Bethpage, long, wet, uphill. Jason, great having you on the show, and I want to say it again, great respect for everything you do. The Tested Back campaign in honor of your mother. Wish her happy Mother's Day for us, and just keep doing great things. You're a special dude, man. I mean that.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show. I love your show. Cheers.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. A little Daisy DC bringing you home. Okay. Yeah, she kept the motor clean. Mm-hmm. She kept the motor clean. I had an epiphany during the break, but I almost don't want to bring this up on the air because I don't want to be wrong.
About
the Sixers tonight. Mm-mm. I have a weird feeling they're going to play well.
It's all about Joel
Embiid. Really well. Like, win.
I mean, they better. Otherwise, all the expectation, anticipation.
I think they're going to play well tonight.
I'm not buying it.
I don't know. I didn't think the Celtics would play well last night.
True. We were dead right. Both right on that
I didn't touch that game, though, because I had gotten a little cold after being red hot for a couple of weeks. And I said, let me just lay out a night and see what's up here. Try to get back in. Kind of liking Philly's home dogs tonight. They're plus two. Kind of like the Sixers. I think I'm going to roll with Philly tonight.
So
I'm going to roll with them.
I told you I was with Berkowitz last night. Now, Berkowitz is as prolific as you. Maybe not as successful as you.
Yeah, exactly. So that means he's not as prolific as me.
Well, in wanting to partake, there is a line that's ridiculous with the Golden State Warriors.
What is it?
First quarter line.
He does first. I say, okay, that's next level. If I start getting myself wrapped up in that, then the world will probably end. If I start betting first quarter, I mean, I hear you, but God, I know it's out there.
They're 11-0. This postseason, 11-0, first quarter line.
Interesting.
Last night it was, I think it was minus two.
And like halfway 11-0 in the first quarter.
I forget what the final of the first quarter was, but he showed me that like halfway through it was like 31-17.
Oh yeah, they jumped on him.
Yeah.
Did he play it?
Yeah, of course he did it.
Did he play it big?
I don't think big.
Yeah,
but he did it.
Just getting a little sweat going, as we say in the business. He did it. I want to see if he's got the guts to do first quarter game six in Houston. I would have to say that if he does that,
but
he's foolish.
It's not always Warriors.
Oh, I know. Sometimes Warriors could be getting points. No, I got it. They're not always. Yeah. And they will be, let's see, what was it? One and a half point dogs tomorrow night. I saw this early this morning before it was confirmed that he would not play game six, Durant. Without Kevin Durant, they would be 1.5 point dogs game six. pardon me, with him, they would be 1.5 underdogs. Without him, it would go to about 6.5-ish. Mm-hmm. So
what's
that's quite the
quarter?
Balloon. First quarter, I don't know, but I'm guessing it could be a push, could be rock. You know what? No, you'd have to think. I'm going to say I don't even look at that, but I'll say Rockets first quarter. Rockets minus 5. Maybe 4.5. Put them in that.
We'll
in
see
that
if,
neighborhood.
We'll see if you're right.
All right, we'll see. Let's hit the blast. Let's go. Jimmy Garoppolo reportedly seeking advice from Tom Brady on how to recover from torn ACL. Okay. How do we feel about players helping opponents?
I don't mind this, man. The NFL is a brotherhood, especially in the offseason. It's not like you're sharing trade secrets of, you know, X's and O's. This is how do you stay healthy? How do you get right? I think once you're in the fraternity, so to speak, you want to see people be successful, just not against you. And I don't know if they're on the schedule this year. I haven't. So it's not that big of a deal. But they're also former teammates. I think this is A-okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with this as well. I really am. I would have a – first of all, you know, Garoppolo is 3,000 miles away from Tom Brady in a completely different conference. And the chances of them ever playing – I don't think they're playing the regular – I'd have to double check. I don't think they are. I don't think they're playing each other in the regular season. But the chances that they would meet in the Super Bowl this year are infinitesimal.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with this. I think it's cool. I think it's noble. I think it's kind of just what you do.
You're right.
Yeah, I have no problem with this. Joey Gallo is the first. This is a quirky stat. Baseball usually yields these kind of things. Joey Gallo, first in Major League Baseball history, ready to get 100 home runs before 100 singles.
Wow.
So he's got 90.
Embarrassingly bad.
It's crazy. Although, would you rather have 100 singles and one home run?
No.
You look at it that way as well. Think about it. I mean, it really depends on your frame of reference here because there are two sides of the coin.
He's hovering just above Mendoza.
I understand. He's hitting 210. He's got 93 singles in his career.
That's his career average, by the way. It's not this year.
It's got to be 220-ish. It's not good. I don't have it in front of me, but it's
210.
For his career.
210.
It is 210. Okay. Should the Rangers force him to change his approach at the plate? You know, he's young enough where you can theoretically tweak a couple of, not midseason. This would have to be, you'd have to deconstruct it and then overhaul it during the offseason. You don't mess around with this nonsense during the season. He's only 25. And when he hits it a million miles. He's a masher. He's not the player he was supposed to be. He was an uber prospect coming up with Bryce Harper.
Yep.
Remember, he played on the same team as Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant. AAU summer ball because Bryce Harper's dad was the coach.
Yep.
So they all played together. He's on pace for 250 strikeouts this year, and I know that the batting average doesn't mean a lot, but you got to put the ball in play. I don't want this guy on my team. If he's batting seventh or eighth, yeah, but you're not going to win in October with him when you got to put the bat on the ball to move somebody over.
Yeah. Well,
he doesn't make contact.
He might be doing something right because he's hitting 270. This year. We'll see how long that persists. It's probably not going to last. Because you're right. He swings for the fence every single swing. And that launch angle, his if you had the track, not just of the ball launching, but his swing, it's totally down and up. Completely down and up.
Addison Russell was up, then down on a personal level. Now, hopefully, he will climb out of this. He's got a lot of people to prove things to. Booed by the home fan in his return from domestic violence suspension, says he understands why he was
Addison,
booed.
Is it a goal of yours to win back fans that maybe are against the Cubs bringing you back?
I think that's a huge step along the way. And then over time, reflect and then look and see how far I've came and then just keep going forward.
What do you tell the people who say you don't deserve to be back?
I know that, you know, they're going to think and say whatever they want to say, and they're entitled to that. I respect them for that, but thing is, I'm here, and I have an opportunity to help this team win.
Okay, not really sure what else you can really say there. Yeah. He seemed to strike a pretty good balance of, you know, he seemed relatively contrite.
He knows he made a mistake, and he's going to pay for it until he starts playing really good baseball and people forget about it.
Yep.
To an extent. Nobody will ever really forget about
it.
But they'll forgive him if he plays great baseball and doesn't go 0-for-3 with a strikeout and a walk like he did yesterday. So.
But the question is, should the team trade him to get a fresh start?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think
the value is incredibly down.
I agree. I think they need him. And you're right. You're not. What are you getting for him?
At this point, it would be 35, 40 cents on the, not even 50 cents on the dollar.
So
let him regenerate. He might have to go through the boos, and he's earned them. He was a star. I mean, he was beginning to show signs of superstardom. Not superstardom, of stardom.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got derailed. See if you can fix it. And if not, then, you know, then eventually he's going to have to go away.
You're right.
Tony Romo, not going away from the guy. Tony Romo's got a great life. Who are we kidding? 10,000-1 odds to win the Byron Nelson in Dallas. And right now, he is sitting 8 off the lead.
Yep.
He is even through 10 holes. He is right now 101st out of 151 possible players. What finish for Romo would shock us? I would say if Tony Romo, I'm not saying that he couldn't do it. See, the pressure of the event changes things.
Yeah.
It definitely does. If Tony went out there with 151 professional golfers, could Tony finish top 40, on a top 30? On a given day, he could.
Yeah.
Now, I would be surprised. I would be stunned, actually, as the course and the pin placements get tougher. I know he's great, but I would be stunned if he finishes top 50. If he finishes top 50, that's a hell of a showing, boy.
I will be shocked if he makes the cut. The cut projection is currently -2
okay.
right now. He is even through 10. Here's his round, BT. Started with a birdie.
Birdie. Chirp, chirp.
Loving it.
Chirp,
par,
chirp.
Par, par. Bogey. It is what it is.
It happens.
Par. Eagle.
What?
Eagle.
Okay.
On 7, par 5.
Uh-huh.
Par. 9, double.
He got a 9?
On hole 9, he had a double.
Okay.
And at 10, he's par.
He's got a birdie and an eagle. He's got 2 birdies and an eagle or
a
one birdie?
A
bird and eagle and
eagle.
A double. And a bunch of pars. And one bogey.
Birdie, bogey,
I mean,
eagle, double.
It's pro conditions. It's really
he's got to get to -2 by tomorrow evening
to make the cut.
That's the projected cut.
Okay, go get him, Tone.
I'll be surprised if he does it.
All right. I would too. I would be surprised if he makes the cut. Yeah, I would agree with that. After the soccer drama for this week, and Tiki's been all over this. Does the United States need domestic stars and domestic leagues to succeed, or could the international soccer, you know, show aspect stars, can they capture the hearts and minds of the young fans in America?
I think that
without a domestic presence,
I think the domestic presence is a long way away. I had Bruce Grobelaar on of Liverpool. They're legendary goalie from the mid 80s to early 90s. Talking about a little bit about U.S. soccer, he said there's so much development that they got to do. They've already expanded teams, but they need even more, right? Because the reason that international soccer is so compelling is that there's consequences for failure. Obviously, there's great, you know, reward for success, and so many kids play it, but the structure's not big enough yet.
We didn't make the World Cup. We didn't even qualify.
Exactly right.
I mean, what are you kidding me?
So these guys aren't playing.
How do you not qualify for the World Cup? Almost everybody does.
International soccer is getting a ton of airtime in the United States. TNT showed the Champions League semifinals.
The Tottenham and Ajax.
Ajax. Yep, and they also played... They also played Liverpool and Barcelona, which had stars all over it. And the Champions Final is going to be the same. I think international soccer, because it's starting to get play here, is going to supersede what the U.S. can do. NBC does a heck of a job.
They do a really good job with soccer. There's no doubt. All right, I'll co-sign what Tiki said. I'll agree with that. Guy's falling in love with soccer over here. A little Pele.
Once you appreciate it, that was really off.
I lifted yesterday. And I hit golf balls today.
I hit golf balls.
I got to be honest with you. I haven't said this much. Feeling pretty good swinging a golf ball.
Striping it?
Boy. Yeah.
Your golf swing, you're lifting jacked up your arm.
I did. I lifted my chest yesterday. Not that you could tell.
You were so off. This is embarrassingly bad.
Rip one up in case I'll hit this one.
I hit it.
Why don't you hit it? Take us out. I got the Sixers, by the way. I got the Sixers tonight.
No chance.
That was awful.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.